Welcome to the Woodridge Baptist Church podcast. For more information about what's happening in the life of our church, visit our website at www.woodridge.org. Enjoy the podcast.
All right, how about this? Let's get the word. Y'all ready for it? So we've been in this series on Jesus and the Gospel of John, and he uses this statement, I am, and then he gives something on the back end of it to kind of explain characteristics of who he actually is. And so I'm going to begin in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, and there's a little bit of unpacking, so let's just jump in today. Here's the way it begins. It says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they'll never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Talking about the Pharisees and the teachers, they're like, you're speaking in riddles, man. What does it even mean? They don't get it when he's done. So let's stop for a second. I'm going to give you a little bit of background because you're dealing with the first century and you're dealing with, it would be like where I grew up. You know, I grew up in Mineola, Texas. There's farmland and farmers. I mean, there's more than that, but you got farmland and farmers. So you got rural first century going on right here. You talk about sheep. And we know that what we need to know is what's going on if we're going to understand what Jesus is trying to say to this group. So we've got a shepherd. We've got some sheep. We've got a sheepfold. We've got a doorkeeper. And we've got thieves and robbers. Those are the bad guys. You have enough characters here that you could put on a whole production this Sunday morning of a play. You know what I mean? And a picture may help us understand what all this is about. Here's the way it goes. In Israel, they would use what is called a sheepfold at night, and that would be used to protect the sheep. So it would have one door, and you can kind of see it from the picture that I've provided for you. I sketched that for you this week. It would have, in all my spare time, it would have one door that was protected by a doorkeeper. And what the doorkeeper would do is he would ensure that no one that was unauthorized could slip in and harm the sheep. And there were a lot of robbers and thieves. You remember hearing about the robbers and thieves that were there? There were a lot of robbers and thieves that liked their chances at getting in to the sheep. So what would happen is in the morning, the shepherds would actually come up to what is called the sheepfold. They would arrive and they would be vetted by the doorkeeper that was sitting there who would call out to his sheep. Now, in the sheepfold, and what I've provided for you here, you didn't just have necessarily one shepherd's sheep. You might actually have a lot of different shepherd's sheep that were allowed to go into the sheepfold so that they could be protected at night from anything that would want to do them harm. So you've got the gatekeeper that's there, or also known as the doorkeeper that was there. And in the morning, when it was time to get them out of the sheepfold, what they would do is the shepherds would show back up, and they would go up to the doorkeeper or the gatekeeper and say, I'm here to get my sheep. And then you go, well, how are you gonna sort all the sheep out? And the answer is, I'm gonna call to them. And when the shepherd would call out to the sheep, in spite of the fact that you might have other shepherds that were there, those sheep knew who their shepherd was. And they would hear the voice, and here they would come running. So think about that. I mean, sheep are not necessarily the smartest animals in the world. You don't know what I'm saying? Have you heard that before? Where I come from, you might say their biscuits aren't all cooked. You know, or like the elevator doesn't go all the way to the top. That's kind of how sheep actually work. But to their credit, they have enough smarts to know the voice of their own shepherd, and only those sheep, when the shepherd would call out, only those sheep would go out with the shepherd for what it is that they were going to do that day. Maybe there was some work to be done. Maybe there was some grazing to be done, but off they would go. On the other hand, there were the thieves and the robbers. This is the part of the play where you boo them, you know? There were the thieves and the robbers. And they would not come through the door. You see that there's one door there? They weren't going to do it. Instead, what they would try to do is to come over the top or even try to force their way in by getting through the doorkeeper that was there. Now, with that in mind, I want you to remember this. Jesus has just said some things in John chapter 10 to the Pharisees and the teachers, and he's comparing them to certain people. He calls the Pharisees and the priests or the teachers here in John chapter 10, he uses the Greek word lestis. And if you're wondering, that's fascinating to know. There's actually another character in Scripture that word is actually used to describe him, and it's Barabbas. You remember the guy who's there? You're like, you can have Jesus or you can have Barabbas. Barabbas was the guy that was a thief. He was the rebel causer. Same word. And here what Jesus did is he's looking at the Pharisees and he's looking at the priests and he's saying, you're the bad guy. Now, how do you think that went over? I know, you're like, they were in a teachable moment that day and they're like, we receive it, Jesus. We receive it. No, they didn't. Actually, if you look, because Jesus is drawing this from somewhere in John chapter 10. When they were looking at the scripture, they would be thinking of what we would call the Old Testament. And he's drawing a parallel in John chapter 10 that a Pharisee or a priest or a teacher would know exactly what he's saying when he said it. Consider Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 through 6. Here's what it says. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Well, who are the shepherds of Israel? Well, in the time that Jesus is, it's the people that are standing right in front of him. They're the ones that are supposed to be shepherding people. And he goes on to say, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, you clothe yourself with wool, slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You haven't brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for the wild animals. My sheep wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them. This is the passage that Jesus is drawing from to describe the people that he's talking to. And notice what he said of them. You're not good at what you do. You're hurting people. He says, you have literally left them to wild animals, which means if you look at the sheepfold, you have left them outside of a place of provision and protection. And it's like, good luck, good luck. And you're the one that took them there. You're the one that took them there. You left them exposed. So they were scattered. Did you notice this in Ezekiel 34? It says they were scattered over the whole earth and nobody's looking for them. This might remind you of this story that goes in Matthew chapter 18. It's kind of a famous story. Imagine that you have a shepherd that has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray and the shepherd goes after the one and he leaves the 99 behind. You remember what I'm talking about in Matthew chapter 18? All of this image of what's happening in John chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 18 should connect you right now to Ezekiel chapter 34. Shepherds, who you're supposed to be, you're none of this. You're none of this. And this word for shepherd here is where you get in the New Testament throughout Scripture, you get this picture of what a pastor is supposed to be. Protect, provide for, take care of. In Matthew 18, when he talks about the one goes astray and leaving the 99, I've got to be honest with you. When I was younger, and I remember reading that in Scripture, it didn't make any sense to me. Think about it with me for a second, because here's the way it struck my ears. Why in the world would you leave 99 unattended and you would go out and search for one and they're back there? I mean, those 99 are probably like, where are you going? Where are you going? Right? I'm going to leave you back here. But, you know, honestly, I misunderstood what that was actually trying to say, at least in my early readings of it, because what was happening is the 99, they're safe. They're good. They're taken care of. But you see something in the heart of the shepherd that says, they're good, but I'm going to get you because you're not. You're not. And I want you to come into the sheepfold. I want you to come into the place of my provision, and I want you to come into the place of my protection. It's almost like another way of getting it. I was thinking of this example. Let's imagine, heaven forbid, my house catches on fire. And let's say, because I have four daughters. Well, one's away from college. All right, let's bring her back home for the weekend, all right? So Avery's back in from college, and the house catches on fire, right? And I wake up, and I get the Dark Lord out. You know, that's the dog. I get the dog out, and then I'm like, I've got to get the girls. And so, you know, I go up the stairs, you know, and I get Kaylee, and I get Maggie, and I get Lila, and I get them outside of the house, and they're out there with the Dark Lord, and they're safe. And then I look, and I go, where's Avery? Because she's a good sleeper. And so I bolt back into the house. I leave them outside because they're good. They're safe. But I go back into the house and I get Avery and I get her out. To show you how well the 9 o'clock worship service listened, when I was done with the example after church, they said, where was Wendy? I'm like, she's fine. Just go with it. Good grief. It's just an example. All right, are you understanding the 99 now? Apparently the 98, because I left Wendy in the house at 9 o'clock. So can y'all work with me? I went and got Wendy too. She's all right, she's good. She's good. They're safe. They're out of danger. They're good. But the heart of the shepherd will go into a place of danger to get the one. And Jesus is looking at the Pharisees and saying, you haven't cared to get any. And they're out there and they're lost. And you're doing nothing. Think about this, back to John 10. Jesus, when he says, I tell you the truth, the man who doesn't enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. You don't mean well because you will not go through the door. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. And then look at verses 7 and 8. And so therefore Jesus said again, truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. I'm it. And all who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep, they haven't listened to them. And so Jesus is using the same image in Ezekiel to say something about the Pharisees and the priests, but he also wants to say something about himself. Because if you look, go back to Ezekiel 34, verses 11 through 16, he says, I've described you for who you are. I want you to hear who I am now. It says, for this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will watch for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so will I look after my sheep. I'll rescue them from all the places where they're scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I'll bring them out from the nations. I'll gather them from the countries, and I'll bring them into their own land. Are you seeing? He's saying, I'm going to do this. I'll do this. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. I'll tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. Boy, doesn't this sound like another passage of Scripture. One of the most famous passages in all the Bible is Psalm 23. The good shepherd provides for his sheep. Did you notice this image? There will be ravines. I'll tend in good pasture. They will lie down. He says, I'll do all of this. I'll do all of this. I'll tend my sheep. I'll search for the lost, it says in verse 16. I'll bring back the strays. I'll bind up the injured and the strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I'm gonna destroy. The sleek and the strong, by the way, it's basically a way of saying, for all of you that won't come with me, you are your own strength. You perceive yourself as not needing me. You wouldn't come into the blessing. You wouldn't come into the sheepfold. There's a result for you too. So in this picture, what you have is, imagine them leading out of the sheepfold. The shepherd has come up and he's called out to his sheep. Just a little bit something about sheep. They have good peripheral vision. Did you know that? So if you're looking at a sheep, you know, they can see like this, like really well. They can actually, some have said they can actually see behind them almost completely. You know where they can't see? In front of them. They can't see forward. Or they can, but it's basically the end of their nose. So there's only so good that that's gonna get you, right? They can't. And so when you look at John chapter 10, verse 3, notice what it says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. It's to his voice. This is how sheep work. What they do is they follow a leading shepherd by sound and not by sight. They don't have sight. Can't see it, but they listen. And you also see how a leading shepherd, and it's called leading shepherd because they're literally out in front of the sheep. You see how a leading shepherd works because they're constantly talking to the sheep, constantly saying which way it is that the sheep are supposed to go. I don't know if you know this, but they even have individual names for sheep in their flock so that the shepherd can speak to the group as a whole, or they can speak to one. Larry, you need to get back here. I don't know if you would ever name a sheep Larry, but whatever. And he responds like the sheep knows when the shepherd is talking to me. The shepherd is talking to us. So with that in mind, think about John chapter 10, verse 5. Because Jesus said to the Pharisees, and he said, they'll never follow a stranger. It's not going to happen. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Maybe you go, well, that's kind of interesting to say, but what does it mean? And the answer is, it was common in the ancient Near East, or as you kind of say, back in Bible times, it was kind of common in the ancient Near East for robbers. Here's what they would do. They would literally scale the walls. They would climb up the walls. They would even dress in shepherd's clothes. They would try to imitate the shepherd's voice so that they could get the sheep to follow them rather than the real shepherd. You see, there's the real shepherd, and then there are the fake ones. And the fake ones are constantly trying to draw and pull away. And Jesus was saying something. Those that are really tapped into my voice are not going to follow you. They know the real from the fake. And most of what is out there is fake. I'm the real. D.L. Moody shared it like this. I thought it was a great example. He said, an Eastern shepherd was once telling a gentleman that his sheep knew his voice, and that no stranger could deceive them. So the gentleman thought he would like to put the statement to the test. So he put on the shepherd's frock and turban. He took his staff and he went to the flock. And he disguised his voice. And he tried to speak as much like the shepherd as he could, but he couldn't get a single sheep in the flock to follow him. Not one. So he asked the shepherd if his sheep never followed a stranger. And at that moment, the shepherd said, He said, I'm obliged to admit that if a sheep got sickly, it would follow anybody. Anybody. So here's what D.L. Moody went on to say. He said, so it is with a good many professed Christians. When they get sickly and weak in the faith, they'll follow any teacher that comes along. But when the soul is in health, a man will not be carried away by error or heresy. He will know whether the voice speaks the truth or not. And he can soon tell that if he is really in communion with God, when God sends a true messenger, his words will find a ready response in the heart. It'll find it. So just a few things to remember this morning from this passage in John chapter 10. I want you to have that image of the sheepfold in your mind. Remember the picture? All the sheep. There they are, safe inside of the gates. And do you remember there's the doorkeeper, there's the gatekeeper that's there. The gatekeeper would literally lay their own body at the door to keep whatever was out there from getting in there with the sheep. They would willingly sacrifice their own body for the sake of the sheep. You will have to come through me. Literally over my dead body. So think about this as it connects to the verse that is the key now this morning. John chapter 10, verse 9. Because Jesus said this about himself. He says, I'm the gate. I'm it. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in. They will go out. They'll find pasture. And they will find protection. Some of your translations say door. Some of your translations say gate. There's only a little bit of a difference between the two. And Kenneth Bailey wrote a book called Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. It's really good. And he has an illustration. He says, well, you get the idea of a gate because you have the gatekeeper and you already saw that. Well, what if it's a door? And the answer is, it's a little bit of a different example, but it makes the exact same point. Here's what he said. You have to think of a Middle Eastern house back then. The door is used by the family who ascend up the steps in the family living area, but you have to go through the door to get to the steps to go up. The same door is used by the household animals. So night and morning, as they come into their stalls and eat from the manger, scooped or built into the slightly higher level of the family room. This probably should connect you a little bit to what would have been described at the scene of the birth of Jesus. You have different levels to the home. There's only one door into the place, but as you go in, there's a place where the animals would go, and then there's a place that the family would go. But they all entered through the same place. And so coming in through the door offers safety at night, warmth and security in the house. Going out through the door is finding pasture or doing labor for the animals that were engaged in work, or perhaps meeting slaughter as meat or sacrifice according to the shepherd's intention for the animal of that day. The shepherd oversees the coming and going. If the word gate rather than door is what is used, the same analogy applies. Come into the stone or wicker sheep pen at night, go out during the day. There are seasons of night best spent in with the shepherd, and there's daytime, the time for work under the rod and the staff of the shepherd. But either it's the same. There's one door. There's one. Not 10, not 50. And Jesus said this about himself. I'm it. I am all you got. Think about this. This theme of a single door, it's all over Scripture, but I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. Noah's Ark had a single door. So at a time of profound judgment and evil, there was one way that you could go for safety and protection and provision. Even the tabernacle, when the tabernacle was being built and you had the outer wall around the tabernacle, there was one door by which people would enter into the place, one door that you would go in by God's prescription. You'd go to the brazen altar where you would make a sacrifice. Then you would go to what is called the bronze laver, which is a place where you would ritually cleanse yourself before you would enter the holy place where there's light and there is bread. There was one door in. So if you look in Scripture, God has always been showing us that there is one way. There's one. And Jesus says, yeah, that's me. That's me. This is the way in. But that also means something else about the door. I mean, the door represents a lot, doesn't it? Because on the good side of it, what that means is you're in a place of security and protection and provision. And that's awesome. But a door can also separate. Because what's on the outside, notice as Jesus is pointing out in John chapter 10, as Ezekiel was pointing out in Ezekiel chapter 34, you're not in a place of provision and protection. You stood on the outside of it. So on the inside, that door is good. On the outside, that's bad news. It's bad news. But I have good news. And I love the way that Jerry Bridges said it. He said, God doesn't deal with our sins. God does deal with our sins, but only in such a way as for our good. He doesn't deal with us as sins deserve. That'd be punishment. But as his grace provides, which is for our good. Our worst days are never so bad that you're beyond the reach of God's grace. But your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace. And he's absolutely right. The most important question that anybody ever asks is, what do I do with Jesus? And so today, what I'm inviting you to do is to receive him. He's the door. And on the other side of it, when you walk through him, there is salvation, there is protection, there is provision, there is blessing. I'm encouraging you today to listen how he describes himself and to believe him.
We hope you have enjoyed the podcast. For more information about our church, visit www.woodridge.org.